to see Michael Jordan, LeBron James, just the way the game has transcended. You literally had Steph Curry on one end, then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at one.
That moment where Giannis goes up to Allen Iverson and tells him how he's the reason he started playing basketball the same way Michael Jordan inspired Allen Iverson to start playing basketball. Do not watch Ranveer Singh's highlights from the Celebrity Game. He was an absolute disaster. Sorry, yeah.
Just hustle, just hustle. Steve Nash was the reason why I wore number 13 in school and college as well. You have thought of some names definitely, who you believe at least that should have been on the list. Who are those players and why?
To me, I think he deserves it ahead of Anthony Davis. He was a scoring machine. He was the best matchup against Kobe Bryant.
He's a phenomenal player, no doubt. But does that warrant him to be on the 75 list? I don't think so.
I think he's a great player. He's a top 85. I don't think he's a top 75. So if you had to name five names that are not in the NBA 75, but will be in the NBA 100.
Honorary shootouts.
Exactly.
Shootouts. I'm saying.
You're in the three-point shooting mode right now.
Klay Thompson's in my head. Hey everyone, welcome back to an all-new episode of All About Sports, the podcast, a weekly sports podcast for the fans, by the fans. Joining me today is my co-host Rishabh Krishnan and I'm Mazhar Gadiwala. And before we get into this week's episode, just a quick reminder of what we covered last week. Last week, we discussed gender pay and basically the US women's team winning their lawsuit against the US Soccer Federation for equal pay, which honestly, it should have never come to that point, but well, it did, and the US women's team has rightfully deserved to get what they needed, and they managed to settle for a massive amount of $24 million, so credit where it's due to them. Now, this week, Krishnan's already mentioned this in a few of our previous episodes. When it's Krishnan and me, it's typically going to be basketball, so we're going to dive into the NBA. And for all those who tuned into the NBA All-Star Game, it was quite surreal. 75 of the NBA's best players on the court. Of course, some not alive. So, but obviously in spirit were there. Kobe Bryant being obviously the marquee name in terms of that. But yeah, to see Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Giannis, all standing together from different generations in a lot of ways that you can say. And just the way the game has transcended, you literally had Steph Curry on one end and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at one. So it was like pretty cool. And I'm sure like it must have been an overwhelming experience for them. Funny enough, Ranveer Singh got to see all of this. But in the flesh. But anyway, coming back. So yeah.
Do not watch his highlights. Do not watch Ranveer Singh's highlights from the Celebrity Game. He was an absolute disaster. Sorry. Yeah. I think he played a total of one minute, had a foul and no baskets.
Just hustle. Tripping. Who did he trip? I don't remember. But yeah, I just saw him running, sprinting up the court, wearing tights, firstly, which was odd enough.
Strange look. It was a very strange look. He covered up every part of his body.
He literally covered every part and his hair was long. At least shave, bro. But maybe it was for his next movie. God knows. Anyway, so this week's episode is going to be all about the NBA 75 that was released by officially. The list was released very early on last year. Let's not forget that. But there was a lot of crying of fouls by one person, particularly Klay Thompson, for not being included on the list. He has a point, but we'll discuss that. We'll discuss all of that. So, yes, so Krishnan and I will be deep diving into that. So, I'll start off with you, Krishnan. I've been going on for too long. Who were your favorite players on that NBA 75 list? Also, just for our viewers and listeners, we're going to be only talking about those we've seen in our generation. So practically the 2000s onwards. So Krishna, take it away.
No, and it's a good point, Maz, because, you know, the NBA did this in 19, I guess, 19, Exactly 25 years from this. So 1997 or 1990. Yeah, I had to do the math pretty quickly. Yeah, 1997 was the last time they did it. They did an NBA 50. They've re-upped this and added 25 more players again. For us, basically, we can only talk about those 25 players because we don't really know about the guys before that. I think Shaq, though, was in the original NBA 50 as well. He might be the only one who maybe crosses over, you know, the boundary where we've probably seen him a decent amount of him. Muzz, I want to exactly to your point reiterate the first point of how awesome this NBA All-Star game was. You know, I'm not someone who necessarily watches the All-Star game very often because the game itself tends to be boring. But that moment, just seeing all of them getting together, that moment where Giannis goes up to Allen Iverson and tells him how he's the reason he started playing basketball the same way Michael Jordan inspired Allen Iverson to start playing basketball. It's just such a wonderful accumulation of the best from so many different generations. And it's such a reminder that everyone who was there in the NBA 75, who weren't in the NBA 50, were inspired by everyone who was in the NBA 50. And we know when we get to an NBA 100, it's going to be all the guys who are inspired by those new entries into the NBA 75. And we saw some of the younger players in there, right? Giannis is still a relatively young player, right? He's not someone who's, he still has a good way, you know, a few years to go in his career. So it was great to see a player like him in there. I think for me, Maz, all the memories that I have, a lot of the formative basketball memories I've had are from some of the more recent years. So I think I just want to call out two. The first one just was a basketball memory that I thought nicely combines a few of the people on this list, which is that Miami series where they beat the Spurs coming back in game six, right? That crazy game six where like it's like basically looking at Miami's out of it. LeBron takes a shot, misses. Chris Bosh gets the rebound, throws it out to Ray Allen. Ray Allen sinks the shot, and then it goes to game seven, and Miami take the series. I loved that moment. Is probably the moment that I started watching and getting involved in basketball, I remember, because I never really followed basketball up till then. But I remember tracking that game on my phone and thinking, oh, this game's over. And I didn't even watch the game live. I just saw it after and just remember feeling how awesome this is. And it was great because now that we have the NBA 75, it combines some of the big names in there. It's obviously Dwayne Wade, who's the big, you know, he is the Miami boy. He wasn't really very involved in that play specifically, but LeBron James, who is obviously a very obvious name in the NBA 75, almost a no-brainer, might go in the NBA 5 if they ever do one. Ray Allen, who's also in there. I also loved it because it brings in Ray Allen, and I feel like so much of this season, we've talked about Steph Curry's history and Steph Curry's legacy after he beat the three-point, you know, after he, you know, he's got the record for most three-pointers made. As a result, we also start talking a lot about Ray Allen, who he beat. So it was another quick reminder of, you know, what an elite, elite shooter Ray Allen was in this game. And I didn't get to see him necessarily as much as I would have liked. I mostly saw him in Miami, which is definitely the end of his career. It was like the last two games. I didn't get to see his years really in Boston or before that for Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. So I missed a lot of his best moments. So I think number one is that epic Miami series, because I think that's the one that really got me into watching basketball. The number two moment is the moment where I just was blown away by LeBron James. I know a lot of this is LeBron James focus. The 2016 game, again, because it features more than one NBA 75 guy. The NBA Finals in 2016 with LeBron James and Steph Curry going out against each other. And it was almost, you know, Iman Shumpert in one of his interviews talked about how when they would face the Warriors, it almost felt like them, like they were going to determine, the winner of those series would determine how basketball would be played in the future. If the Warriors won, we'd move to this three-point shooting dynasty where everyone just chucks up a bunch of threes, which essentially is what has happened now. And the Cavs were trying to almost fight against that in some extent. I mean, they were a decent three-point shooting team too, but they were a lot better in the paint. And Muzz, that series was just, to me, it's still my favorite basketball viewing memory. Because like I said, I didn't watch the Miami Heat game live. LeBron James led that series in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. It was just an unbelievable experience to watch him at his absolute height in that series, going 3-1 down. And that was a year also where another person in the NBA 75, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook actually, went out to the Warriors again after being 3-1 up in the finals of the Western Conference. So it had two 3-1s, featured basically a lot of the big names who are currently in the NBA 75. So I think those are my two favorite memories. And Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and LeBron James probably form my triumvirate of favorite players. So all of my favorite memories probably have one of the three of them. But probably LeBron is still slightly higher for me than those two. Maz, let me hand it off to you. I have a suspicion on one name who I think might be at the top of your mind, but I'll leave it to you. I want to leave it open to you for where you want to go with this one.
Surprisingly, it's not that. That's not the first name. It's another one. It's another one. It's Steve Nash. Steve Nash was the reason why I fell in love with basketball because of Steve Nash. It was just his silky smooth moves, just the calmness that he displayed when he had the ball, the ability to pick out passes, his behind the back no look passes were just, I mean, just he would have dominated the league. Not like he didn't, that I mean, back then, that's why he won MVP, beat Kobe Bryant, who many argued should have won MVP in that regular season as well. But the point is, him in today's game would have been, he would have wreaked havoc to another level. Like, he was just a classier version of Doncic, with no disrespect to Doncic. I love Doncic. He's one of my favorite players. He's going to be in that NBA 100 that you mentioned for sure, hands down. So, but yeah, like, Steve Nash was the reason why I wore number 13 in school and college as well. Steve Nash was the reason why I started practicing three-pointers. And I became a three-point shooter because of him. I concentrated on free throws, something that many people overlook in India. I was the one guy who would practice free throws daily because of Steve Nash. I was like, I want to average 40, 50, 90. Why not? Never had a dream of playing in the NBA, to be very honest. But I played it for the love of it. But yeah, it was him that got me into the sport. And then came along this one, Mamba. When I watched the Lakers play, and I saw that triangular offense, because we didn't see the Bulls, right? We were too small to understand how good the Bulls were. But when I saw Shaq, Derek Fisher, and him playing that triangular offense, I was like, this is the team. These are the guys. You have to watch this. He was just an angry young fellow who just never gave up on anything, played incredible D. His defense was what I found striking, because I saw a lot of people scoring around that time. Melo was also like, I mean, later on I saw Melo and I was like, oh, Melo's an amazing shooter, probably as good as Kobe, but what he lacked was D. So I think those were things that as time went by, I realized what made Bryant so special. So I think those are the two names that really stand out for me. Of course, I have a bias too. There's Giannis, who I cannot not mention. Unbelievable. Like, his story is firstly incredible. From the time when he got drafted, he sent back so much money home that he didn't have enough to sustain himself in Milwaukee when he had joined the league. And to see his rise, the fact that he's always trying to improve, and he does. The scary thing is he does. People keep talking about, oh, he's so physical and, you know, like, he depends on his physicality. It reminds me a lot of Rafa in a lot of ways. Yes, they know how to use their physicality. They know what boundaries they can push up to, and then just doing everything else in an unconventional manner, but doing it well enough. And like, at the end of the day, he may not look like a textbook player, but he is. He's one of the few things, I'm calling out a lot of people right now from the modern era by saying this next statement, but I'm going to have to say it. He's probably the only superstar who does not travel. He is probably the only superstar in the NBA currently who does not travel.
I don't think he needs to. His stride is so big.
But it's not about... Yeah, agreed. Agreed. But it's that's not the point, right? Yeah. That's not the point. The fact is, like, every time I keep watching his I keep watching his videos on repeat, sometimes slow it down just to see, is he traveling? Is he getting away with those calls? I just don't see it. I just don't see it with him. It's clean steps. He doesn't have, like, even his jump step is not a jump step. It's more like a Euro step, which is a bit, like, there's a small difference, but enough for me to always judge a jump step as a travel, typically. Like, if you get what I mean, like, you know, for those who play the sport, they know. All superstars get away with it. But I would say that's one thing that really stands out for me, that he plays by the book. And he's old school in a new school environment. So that's what I love about him.
I don't know if Oakley agrees. Apparently, I don't know if you heard that thing that he said, where he, Oakley made the claim that Giannis would not be in the starting five if he played in the 80s. And he was on some interview where he said this and he got completely roasted. I feel like he's a weird person to say that about, because maybe you say that about someone who's a pure shooter, like maybe like James Harden or something. I feel like Giannis could for sure play, like his game could fit into most generations of basketball. He was a very physical player. Weird claim. Very weird claim.
Yeah. I mean, I the only thing that can go Oakley's way in terms of his statement is they'd adopt the Hack-a-Shaq strategy against Giannis. But that's the only reason why potentially Giannis wouldn't work. But I mean, Shaq was still the dominant force in the league. So what stops Giannis from being the dominant force still? I'm not going to... The older generations have their own likings for obviously their generation, and they feel like the younger generation are just like too soft, which is not wrong also, but like other things. It's just a generation fight, I guess. But coming to that, I want to move it back to you, Krishnan. You have thought of some names definitely I wouldn't say should not be on the list, but like who you believe at least that should have been on the list. Who are those players and why?
So I have names for both. So I have names both for people who I think should fall off, and as a result, who should fall in. Now, obviously, they're all great players, so it's pretty contentious. My players, two players who I think should be on are, one, Dwight Howard. I actually think Dwight Howard's career has been a little bit underrated because of what happened to him as a personality, right? He didn't get a good rep as a teammate in Houston. He's been switching teams a lot. But what people don't forget is, like, he is a two or maybe three-time all-defensive player. He's a guy who took Orlando to the finals of the NBA. And at the end of the day, what I think where he fell down is just, I don't ever think he got the help he needed. To me, this is a controversial opinion, I think he deserves it ahead of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, phenomenal basketball player. You take Anthony Davis out of LA, his New Orleans record is okay. It's nothing phenomenal. I understand the New Orleans, you know, the office wasn't that great. Maybe coaching wasn't that great. But I don't think he was as dominant as I think Dwight Howard was for that period of 3 years. Maybe it was only 3-4 years, but he was dominant. He was considered the heir to the throne that, you know, he's filling the void that Shaq had left. Maybe not as much on the offensive end, but definitely on the defensive end. He was phenomenally dominant. Similar storyline to Shaq in the sense that he started at Orlando, took them to the finals, didn't win the finals, moved to LA. Sort of similar storylines. Obviously, the LA, for whatever reasons, didn't work out. In a lot of ways, kind of similar to what's going on right now. A bunch of super old guys. Anyway, it's a different conversation for a different day. But I think he's one person who deserves to be in. The second person who I had, which I see is... this one's a little more debatable. I'm not going to lie. It got a little bit influenced by... actually, I have two people. This is a little bit influenced by... I don't know if you saw this. Bleacher Report did this highlights showdown between Allen Iverson and Tracy McGrady, where they both each showed their highlights. And Allen Iverson basically spoke about how Tracy McGrady, like, was absolutely dominant. I think there's an argument for him to be in. Maybe not for his record, but for how iconic he was to NBA, right? We all... like, I didn't watch basketball back then, but that comeback against the Spurs... in like the last 15 or 18 seconds where he comes back and wins the game for them. He was a scoring machine. Kobe, I think, has admitted he was one of the best people to guard him. He was the best matchup against Kobe Bryant. Obviously, injuries completely did him in. He never won a championship, which is a big, obviously hit his record a lot. So I think he should have been in potentially in contention. And the last one is Hakeem Olajuwon. Oh, sorry, not Hakeem Olajuwon. Sorry, he's already in there. Dikembe Mutombo. Dikembe Mutombo, again, for who he was as an icon to basketball, right? I mean, everyone does the finger wag now. He's just such an iconic figure. Killed it for Atlanta. Those two, I think, are more debatable. For me, Dwight Howard's my 1A of people who I think should be in. Dikembe Mutombo and Tracy McGrady are probably two. And the other person I think should come out, in my personal opinion, is Paul Pierce. I think he's a great player. He's a top 85. I don't think he's a top 75, in my opinion. Maz, who do you have?
I'm not going to complain about Paul Pierce not being there.
I knew you would agree. That's all.
He can go. But on a biased, like an unbiased opinion, Paul Pierce has to be there. There's too much that he's done for this game, for the Celtics. At the end of the day, you're talking about the marquee team in the league, one of the marquee teams of the league. So I'm just going to talk about Anthony Davis. I absolutely agree. I thought Dwight Howard should have been there. There's no question about it. He was the most dominant force, the most dominant big man since Shaq. And I mean, three-time defensive player of the year is consecutively, right? It's no joke. To take Orlando to the NBA finals, unbelievable. Like, I think he doesn't get enough credit. I think Anthony Davis has been included, Krishnan, simply because of the fact that he won the championship with the Lakers, particularly the Lakers. Because it's Hollywood, it's LA. It's one of those. I think it's more like the situation that he found himself in that got him on that list. But I definitely agree. I would put Dwight in there instead of Anthony Davis. So that's one I agree with. Tracy McGrady, I love that shout out because, man, what a player. Definitely one of those other players I used to love watching with Houston. Him and Yao Ming together were quite the dynamic duo. Sadly, both had injury trouble. So didn't get to see enough of them. Another question mark for me was Damian Lillard. And I know that's saying a lot, but you brought up that point. You said that I understand why McGrady's left out because of his record, didn't win a ring. I don't see Lillard being so different. I don't think Lillard has done
anything.
Yeah,
same argument pretty much, yeah.
I don't feel like Dame has done, like, loyalty, yes, that's what probably stands out about Dame. But more so, for me, like, he didn't do anything to change the game because what he was doing is being done by many people in his generation. He's a phenomenal player, no doubt. But does that warrant him to be on the 75 list? I don't think so. Because of the names you consider that were left out. According to me, Klay Thompson then deserves to be on that. Klay Thompson is a multiple-time champion, was a part of that dominant team that had the record for the best NBA team at the end of the day in terms of win-loss record for the regular season. Definitely the arguably, again, top three, top four shooter ever to play the game. So I guess I understand his frustration because I feel like even when he must have seen this list, he must have been like, why is Lillard there? I personally would say he must have questioned that. See, you can't question people like Russ, triple double merchant. Of course, one of the most entertaining players to watch, as much as, you know, our frustrations and our but like the other names, see, like, it just didn't make sense to me that Lillard was there, and just because Klay was left out. Even Mutombo was a great shot because he was a pioneer in a lot of ways. It was him that drove the African influence into the game, got more African, actually African players who are from Africa, not obviously those who have migrated to the US. I mean, he actually changed a lot. He went and he gave back a lot to society. I know that's not something to judge someone for making the NBA 75 list, but I would argue that Lillard being there over either Clay or Mutombo doesn't make sense to me as well. So I think those two for me were the questionable ones as well. Dwight has to be there. He was robbed, man. I definitely agree with that. I think Dwight was robbed. I was looking at all of these names. The older names are, I mean, they are really good. So you can't even mess with them. And I'm glad we're not even touching upon those. But Mutombo wasn't really our generation. But I mean, I like the fact that you call that out, because I mean, I'm trying to think of other names, but I think the rest deserve to stay there. Kawhi, simply for what he did with Toronto and the Spurs. I mean, how can you debate that? So people forget about the Spurs, Kawhi. That's his greatness, right? People forget that he was part of that Manu, Tim Duncan, and Tony Parker team as well. So,
and he has the potential to do what LeBron did, which is win a championship on three different teams, right? I think he was the first one to do it. I mean, obviously the Clippers seem like they'll never figure it out, but theoretically he has the chance to, right? I mean, we'll keep hoping that they play together, Paul George and him play together. I did want to give a quick shout out to, you do make a great point on Mutombo, because yeah, I'd be lying if I said I know anything about how Mutombo, I mean, I've watched a little bit of Mutombo's highlights, but I have no idea what like he was on a day-to-day basis, but I just feel like he was so iconic. And it's a great shout out to his influence on the African players. You know, we've talked about NBA, NBA Africa program.
Basketball Africa League. Yes.
Basketball Africa League. The number of players playing from there, obviously the biggest being Joel Embiid, obviously now playing for Philly. I didn't even think about that impact. So that's a great shout out. I did want to say a couple of other names that I just saw in an article that people were flagging as other names. It was Kyrie Irving, Tony Parker, Chauncey Billups, Klay Thompson, you mentioned, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, I mentioned, Adrian Dantley. No idea who that is. Alex English, Paul George, Pau Gasol, Draymond Green, Chris Bosh, Dwight Howard, Ben Wallace, and Dikembe Mutombo. So there were a few names on that list that I thought were pretty interesting. But I think the names that I found most interesting were definitely the ones you called out. And I really like your shout out to Dame Lillard, because yeah, I feel like it's the exact same argument. Like I feel like he's in there because of those two game winners that, you know, he shoots that crazy three against OKC. He shoots the crazy three against Houston. But as a career, it's not really evolved to be like a NBA 75 career. And, you know, we're never going to take people out. So he's in for life.
Krishna, I forgot about that. Pau Gasol. His time before the Lakers as well. He was a dominant force. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, if you're talking about adding an LA big man from the modern generation, it should be Pau Gasol. It shouldn't be Anthony Davis then.
I would do that actually. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Like, according to me, it should still be Dwight, period. Dwight also won the NBA championship with the Lakers at the end of the day, was instrumental in their success too. So, I mean, I don't see any grounds for Dwight not being included. And over that, Pau Gasol especially. Oh, God, I can't believe I missed that one. But that's why, like, it's hard to come down to a 75 list. So, there will be names which will go. And like, I really can't argue the other names, but Lillard and Davis just really are like red flags for me on that list.
Maz, I know we're pretty much almost at time, but I wanted to quickly ask you, if you had to name five names that are not in the NBA 75, but will be in the NBA 100, what are five names that you can give me? And I'll try and name five different people.
So Krishnan, are we going to count Clay then? Because he's definitely going to be in the 100.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think you can count. Yeah, I think you can count whoever. Yeah.
Or are you asking me for new names who we haven't debated?
I think you can put in our current names, because I think in this NBA 75, I'm just trying to check the names. There were some people who technically could have been
honorary
eligible.
Shootouts.
Exactly.
Shootouts, I'm saying. What
is you're in the three-point shooting mode right now.
Klay Thompson's in my head.
I'm trying to look because I'm trying to see like all the people who were added, the last 25 who were added. Were any of them like, did they play? Yeah, because Reggie Miller, he played 10 years in the NBA at the point where they could have been selected. Same with Gary Payton. Yeah, so I would allow that. Yes, the court has decided that is allowed. You can bring in players who are currently like, even though they're like past 25, you can bring that in.
Okay, so Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Klay Thompson, I would love to see Ja Morant making it. I would love to see him continuously going at the rate he is. But realistically, Luka is going to be there. Jokic, 100%. He's already booked it. Klay has booked it. I would want to see Pau Gasol added there as well. I don't think it's going to happen. Realistically. But yeah, I would say Pau Gasol. And my fifth name would be... I'm a bit torn on this one. But... I want to see...
I'm liking this because I'm using the time to try and think of names because you definitely covered a few of them.
There are quite a few that are coming to mind. But
yeah,
because once you said Chauncey Billups, I'm like, oh man, that's tough because that is a big name missing. But I want to go with a big man. So that's what I'm trying to think of a big man. Oh, Dwight. Dwight has to be added. I do see Joel Embiid also getting in. But I would want Dwight and Pau and Klay definitely in there, along with Luka and who was the fifth name? I forgot. No, I'm blanking.
Luka? I think you said Luka, Ja Morant, Jokic?
No, Ja Morant was just hopefully. Like, I think he'll be there. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Luka, Jokic, Klay?
Pau Gasol. Klay, Pau, Dwight. Yeah, Pau Gasol. Yeah, Dwight. Yes. Okay. There we go. What about you?
So for me, I think I'd go with... I think Kyrie Irving makes the 100, actually. I think I still am optimism that he has a couple more years left.
No, he should have... I mean, honestly, when I think about it, he potentially should have been on that 75 over Lillard as well. So,
yeah.
I would argue that he should have been there instead of Davis too. But never mind.
Yeah, so I think he'll make the 100, in my opinion. Plus, I think he has a good chance to potentially win another championship. There's a chance he could be in this playoffs. New York are potentially lifting their rules on vaccinated people. So he could be in the playoffs this year and that'll have a huge impact on the Nets team. So I'll say Kyrie Irving. I'm going to go with Ja Morant. Bleacher Report put out this post recently and they said Ja Morant's highlight of the day because the guy is putting up highlights every single day. That buzzer beater that the guy shot was I don't understand how he shot that. He's like almost horizontal. Unbelievable. So I'm going to put Ja Morant. This one's really optimistic, but I'm getting more and more nervous on this one by the day. Zion Williamson. I mean, every time he plays, you're reminded of why he was picked first and why there was all this hype around him, why he was the most hyped up rookie after LeBron James, since LeBron James. He has to do something about his weight. The weight is a big issue and it's just hurting him. But I just have optimism because every time I see him play, he dominates. He absolutely dominates. He obviously has weaknesses in shooting, free throws that he, I'm sure, can cover up and work on. So that's three. This is a bit of an optimistic one. I'm not so confident this will happen. I'm going to say Trae Young, but I'm not super optimistic on this one. I'm not very confident in the... I can see him being someone like a Vince Carter. Obviously, really entertaining, super, super good, but never reaching the level where you're in contention for an MVP. Never reaching the level where you're like a, you know, top level all-star, right? And for that reason, I think it's in question. But if he gets one other decent guy around him, I think he can win. And if he wins, then you get on this list. And the last one actually I had is Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan Mitchell will make it onto this list. I think Utah will I don't see, sadly, I think similar to the Utah of the 1990s, I don't think they'll ever win a championship with them. I'm just being frank. I don't think he reminds me, he's, to me, he's oftentimes compared to Wade, right? And I think he's a slightly worse version of Wade. And if Wade, as good as he was, I don't think could have ever won a championship by himself. That's just, you know, that's not to say he's in a great player and he 100% deserves to be on the NBA 75. I still see the same concern with Donovan Mitchell. So I don't think he'll ever win a championship, but he will be in the NBA 100, in my opinion, because he's just putting up the numbers. So, yeah, I think that's my picks for the 100. But obviously, we're going to have all these random bandas in the next 10 years who we have no idea about right now.
Yeah, it's... I mean, they were all good shouts. We don't know what type of draft classes will come in as well. One thing's for sure, the league needs to go back to big man ball for a bit, just because I feel like just to add a bit more variety. But Krishan, just to refute your point though, the last two All-Star games have been amazing simply because of the new format. I think this change in format has made it much more entertaining. Yeah, so thanks a lot, Krishan.
I want to say one quick shout out before we sign up. Hopefully in the NBA 100, we have one Indian. One Indian, Pakistani, Sri Lankan, I'll take any, Bangladeshi, any of the four in that subcontinent. If we get one, I'll be super kicked. I'm not betting on it right now, if I'm being very honest, but that's the goal, I think, for NBA 100, or at least 125, one of the two.
If we see one in our lifetime, I'll be happy. Let's just put it like that. I'm not going by the years and stuff. Just someone makes it in where I'll be the happiest person on earth. But yeah, thanks, Krishan. It's always great fun. The NBA 75, or every NBA episode of us takes way too long. We end up just running into our own tangent all the time. So, but fun one. And for all of those viewers listening, thank you so much. Let us know your opinion on the NBA 75. Who do you think should be a part of the list or should be out? Do you agree with us or not? We're always open to a conversation. And do leave a like, share, subscribe, and share it with your friends. We're happy to bring on guests too. So if you want to just talk about something, let us know and we'll be in touch. Till then, take care, stay safe, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes, as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.